everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Cryptic Commander. We are your hosts. I'm John Nose.
This is Onik.
And we should probably get the bills out of the way first. You know, we're proudly sponsored by Hobby Goblins. And I know I mentioned it before in the past that we're going to talk a little bit more about them. So, Onik, I've talked about it with you behind the scenes.
Mm-hmm.
And the Hobby Goblins, it's really called Hobby Goblins. So I don't think it's the, but it's just Hobby Goblins. Cause I think when I looked at the fine print, it's just Hobby Goblins.
Okay.
Excuse me. I dropped a pen. And, I actually, for the longest, I owned like 50%, like half the company. And I, you know, we've been growing it like a startup. And every time we do transactions and, you know, sales, and we started off doing consignments, man. And now we're way past that, you know. And it just keeps growing and growing and growing. And yes, the inventory is really huge. Well, what's the inventory? The inventory is not just Magic the Gathering cards. The other day, I sold a whole bunch of Digimon cards. But we have things like dice, stuffed animals, board games, Warhammer board games with all the pieces, Dungeons and Dragon books. We do bolt action. So like the guys that do military games, you know, they use tape measures, and it's kind of like Warhammer, but with army tanks and soldiers and stuff.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that stuff's expensive, but, you know, we deal with a lot of expensive toys, if you think about it. You know, I'll have products that the professor did reviews on that your stores probably couldn't sell, and it's like, I'll buy them all from you for a good price, and now here I'm stuck with them, but I've been peddling them. you know, and Onik, you know, I've met you in person at the LAX Strategicon. And I go there every 3 months or so. And I promote it here on the Cryptic Commander, and I promote it in social media and stuff. So I wanted to let the listeners know, you know, a little bit about Hobby Goblins and, you know, what we've been doing and what we're trying to do over there is a mission statement. You know, it really was just get games and pieces of games to players at really affordable prices, you know, because, like, we're getting it pennies on the dollar. We should pass the savings along to the players, too. You know, we know you can go buy the pieces somewhere else at a local game store, but we were just like, hey man, you know, we're not trying to step on anybody's toes or nothing, but hey, you know, how about just this price, take it now, you know. I don't know, it's not like we're really trying to step on an LGS or anything, because, you know, you have a friend that goes to Strategicon. We talked about him a second ago. Day,
right? Yeah,
I don't know if I should throw names out there or not. I can omit his name.
No, I'll keep his name in there, why not?
But you know, I see him every time I go, and I see all these familiar faces, and now they're starting to be like my family and stuff. And it's hard not to keep going there, and everything is going to be known, because, like, Hobby Goblins, we threw an event last time I was there. I had to go downstairs and do another podcast, and, you know, but I think I was in the vendor's room throwing events, doing podcasts, and doing something else. I remember I was just shuffling around everywhere, really like a madman. And but it's all for fun, and, you know, the enjoyment of the patrons that come in, the guests, the consumers, the, you know, the people that want to walk around and play games or bring their family, because it's getting more and more popular. And it's in Los Angeles.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much down the street from where I am.
There you go. And, you know, not to mention, we are sponsored by North Valley Games, where you can go to northvalleygames.com and enter the promo code TCC. It stands for the Cryptic Commander. 2021. I haven't updated it yet. I know. We're also sponsored by Artopia. A link to the website for Artopia will be in the show notes today. And we're sponsored by Legend Rise Gaming. We're partnered with Magic the Gathering Players Group Facebook group and Cosmic Gaming. Another side note, we have a guest with us today. It's Will. Will, our only patron. But I do want to say that we have Justin. Justin actually donates $5 a month over on the podcast website Anchor.
Sweet.
Where we're being hosted. So I do want to give a big shout out to Justin out there if you're listening. And Will, thank you so much for coming back on this trilogy and the final conclusion. Oh, wait. No.
No.
No, I'm sorry.
If anything, Will, it's gonna be my trilogy coming up next.
Yeah, hold on. Will, I really want to thank you for coming on today's show. Because we've got a big one. I mean, this is something that we haven't done before, and we've got a lot of news to cover. So I want to say thank you so much for coming on today's show.
You're welcome.
Yeah, we have a lot to talk about. That, like, I'd be surprised if we get this in 2 episodes.
Well,
it might be 3.
Well, we got a lot to talk about. So let's start off with Card of the Week. It's on you. Let's
get things started with Card of the Week.
What do we got?
Sword here? Of Forge and Frontier.
Okay.
This is the 9th sword in the whole cycle of swords, I suppose. You know, we had like Sword of Fire and Fire and Ice and Sword of Feast and Famine. This is the red and green one.
Now, did you say that's the final one?
The 9th. There's one missing. We're now missing only the blue-black one.
Okay.
Sword of Fortune Frontier, just like the others, is mana value 3 or casting cost 3, equip 2. Equip creature gets +2/+2 and has protection from red and from green. Whenever equipped creature deals combat damage to a player, exile the top 2 cards of your library. You may play those cards this turn. You may play an additional land this turn. So in a way, this is kind of like a draw 2. It's not as good as a draw 2. Period. It's not as good because you're exiling them. So if you don't get the chance to play them, then they're gone. But you can get a land drop out of them. If they're both spells, you can hopefully play them or cast them both. Hmm. It's pretty nice. Unfortunately, as far as standards is concerned, it's not. Red and green are the least representing colors. So I don't know how much of an impact this card is going to be for the protection purposes. We'll see how it goes, but it's just a sweet sword.
Well, I mean, when I play blue cards, red, green, it's a doozy. I lose to it a lot, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I would want to get this. Even blue makes sense, too, because those illusions that are unblockable. Think about it. Whenever the creature deals combat damage to a player,
yeah,
you know, it's unblockable unless you're killing this, returning it or something.
Unless you also deal damage to a planeswalker, because that's not a player.
Right. Now, Will, what do you think about this card?
I love it.
Yeah, you can play an additional land this turn too, you know.
I love it, you know. I mean, it very well designed. It does red things, it does green things. What else can you say? What else can you say about it?
Well, the fact that it does red things, it does green things, and it's pro red and green.
Yeah.
And perfectly designed a good card. I love it.
And you may not have noticed, but like every single sort of blank and blank, the first word is always the one that has the protection from the first color that they mention, and the second word is the second color. Like Forge is red and Frontier it was green. I guess Frontier could be a bit ambiguous, but like the Forge is very red, and the card says it has protection from a red first. It goes in the appropriate color order as far as the naming and whatnot. It's one of those things that probably no one even notices. For whatever reason, my brain sees like, oh, that's an order, and everyone's like, what the hell are you talking about? It's something I notice. I don't know. Yeah, I'm weird. Anyway,
no, you're fine. You're making me laugh.
Well, yeah, it's a sweet sword.
That is pretty good, though. I mean, one more to go. Dimir, one more,
yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
And they made it to Dimir. Of course they're going to make it to Dimir.
Well, it's the last one.
Yeah.
It's the last of the cycle. So it's not, of course, they're going to make it. They made it. Like they have to make it at this point. They have no choice.
My personal opinion, and this is pure speculation, they're going to make it so bomb-biggity, because if they would have made the Dimir one first, then they're going to be like, wow, this is really good. And if they would have made this one last, they would have been like, this is the one they showed last. You know what I mean? So
I could see that. I don't think that's the case, but I could see that.
I don't think it's the case, but I just can see that the blue-black one is going to be wow, you know? Like, it makes you look at all the other ones, you know? But I'm sure it's going to be balanced. I'm sure it's going to be balanced. This one right here, before we move on, is also good for the mirror match.
Like, blue, protection from blue and black is probably like the biggest two protections you would want anyway. Mm. But at least black. Maybe black and red would be the biggest protection, since that's like the direct damage and removal.
I am talking about sort of Forge and Frontier here, the card of the week.
Right. It's
protection from red and green. So this also has red and green abilities. But
yes.
if, if it's pro red and green, it'd be great for the mirror match, is what I'm saying.
Unless it's like a mono white deck is running the sword.
then that wouldn't be a mirror match. I mean,
no.
Right? Could it be mono red versus red and green? But that's your card of the week this week.
Moving on. We don't know when we're going to get the last one of the sword. Maybe it's the next set. Who knows?
Okay. So, movers and shakers. We're gonna start off with a card that really I love. It's in my cube. I hope it's in your cube, Onique. Chandra, Torch of Defiance.
Of course it's in my cube.
$4.47. Moving down. This reminded me when it came out, like a Jace the Mind Sculptor, because Jace the Mind Sculptor was 2 blue and 2 other and had 4 abilities, you know? And I was like, oh, wow. They finally got a Planeswalker for red that costs 4 and it's got 4 abilities.
Man, yeah, she was $40 at some point.
I know. But if you are looking to build your own cube or get in other formats, $4.47, it's moving down. It's just moving down slowly. It does look like it could bottom out at $1, you know. But the next to talk about is one that I'm playing with right now in Historic. Mesmeric Orb. It's $3. It's stable. And kind of like the other one you talked about, which was like, what, $80 or one point. This guy also at like $30 or something. Right now, $3. And it's flatlining at $3. It's been flatlining at $3 for a long time. At least 2 months.
Well, not that long, just because this version of the card then it wasn't even out for a month. Well, actually, no, I lied. It was a month and a half.
Yeah, so November, October, end of October.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, a beautiful card, though. I mean, I use it for sideboard purposing. And yeah. Then before we get to the top three this week, I want to talk about this one, too. It's a land, a darker wastes. If I pronounced it wrong, I'm sorry. $3.34, moving up! !! Moving up. Now, it's cool that MTGStocks.com gave us an explanation point. It's been identified by the MTG Stocks Premium Penny Stocks feature as a card that has reached its bottom and is starting a constant uptrend. So. Just like last week, if you want to get into the penny stocks, which I think is an interesting concept, and thank you, MTGStocks.com, for bringing this to our attention. And there's a card here. Should we skip this one right here?
It's part of number three.
Okay, so number three this week, Loran of the Third Path. It is currently $7.26. It's up 27%. It's another card we mentioned a few weeks ago, but this time it's mentioned in cheap pickups and was identified. I'm sorry. Yeah. So this time it was mentioned in cheap pickups and was identified by MTG Stocks Premium Penny Stocks feature. I think the first one we talked about, right? Mm-hmm. And it's a new rare from Brothers War. And we can rid an artifact or an enchantment that get you both and your opponent card.
Yeah, I remember talking about this one on the cheap pickups too, not that long ago.
So it goes along with this other card that we were going to skip, which is called City of Traders. So we talked about that already, basically.
Yeah, it goes. I mean, City of Traders is on a reserve list, and it goes in the same deck that Lauren is used in. It's a pretty much mono white stacks in Legacy.
Okay.
Which is actually very surprising that Legacy is causing this one to move up because. Legacy's not that popular for format.
Yeah.
But more specifically, it's not from... Well, actually, this card does see commander play.
Now, that's what I was getting ready to say, too. This one can see commander play. Yeah. Number two this week, I don't even remember this card ever being printed. And yes, I played with Mirrodin, like... I remember it was like yesterday, Onique. Number two, Grinding Station. I'm looking at it, and I'm blinking my eyes, trying to make sure my eyes are clean. $36.94. It's up 27%. So if you've been paying attention, number three, which was up 27%. Number two is up 27%. Number one this week. Are you ready, Will? this card is up 823%. Oof. And I knew it was going to be a mirror. Why did I know it was going to be a mirror? There's been a lot of talk about mirror. Maybe we'll talk about it in this podcast. Mirror Turbine. It's $30. Do you remember Mirror Turbine?
I just remember Mirror, whatever, M-Y-R.
Yeah.
Cute little creature type from back in the day from Mirrodin.
Yeah, so there's a lot of talk coming around on Mirror, and there's a new Mirror, okay? And I can't remember the name of it. If I click on Twitter or Facebook or something, it'll probably pop up. But there's a new one causing a stink, okay? Maybe it's in our show notes here, but this one costs 5. It's an artifact. It's just Mirror Turbine. You can tap it, put a 1/1 colorless mirror artifact creature token onto the battlefield, which is sick, especially if you got something going on like Slivers, you know what I mean? Except for in the mirror front, you know? Or you can tap this, tap 5 untapped mirror you control, search your library for a mirror creature card, put it on the battlefield, and then shuffle your library. Now, show notes.
So, I mean, about this card, there's a new mirror, a commander creature it's pretty much all 5 colors. I can't find it right now, but it's, I don't even know what it does.
So Mirror Galvanizer was with another one. There was another one, Mill Galvanizer, and I can't remember the name of it. What was it? Besieged or something? There was an infinite mana combo with the mirrors, okay? And probably. On top of it, you're seeing movement with Mirror Matrix, who also went up 584% to $22, okay? There's just this new mirror coming out, and it's a commander. And I think that's what it is. Finally, we have a mirror commander. I think that's what the stink is. I think that's what it is.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
God, I feel like I'm about to find it in a second.
Sure. Where's the stink? Sure. Yeah, I remember. So, what was it? Mirror Propagander? Okay. That just got slid to me. Pay 3. So, this card just got slipped to me, right? Pay 3. It's an artifact creature mirror, which it just has on it. That's a 1/1 body. You can pay 3, tap it, and put a token that's a copy of Mirror Propagator itself, basically, onto the battlefield. You're making many copies of this guy, which is a 1/1 mirror that makes copies of himself. So if you got infinite mana and you got a way of untapping things like crazy too, you got infinite combo just putting 1,000,000 1/1s out there, or 2,000,000,000 1/1s or something. I'm telling you, dude, something's going crazy with mirrors. And I don't even have a name of this guy yet, but there's a new legendary mirror that's going to blow things up, bro. All the mirrors are going up right now. It's almost like by the time you even hear this podcast, it's too late. There's no way you're going to... What's Mirror Retriever up to? Do you remember that one, Mirror Retriever?
Yeah.
Okay, it looks like about a dollar. So it's like you pay 2, and it's a 1/1 mirror artifact creature. Whenever it dies, return another target artifact from your graveyard to your hand. Oh, man. Dude, mirrors are going up, dude.
I'm getting frustrated myself that I can't find this damn card.
What do you think? What do you think, Will? We probably lost Will, huh?
About the new commander?
Yeah, have you heard about it?
No, I'm trying to look it up.
It's not even English. Okay, here's a translation. Finally found it. Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Legendary. Urtet, Remains of Memnarch. 3 mana value. Legendary artifact creature mirror.
Yep.
Whenever you cast a mirror spell, create a 1/1 colorless mirror artifact creature.
Oh.
At the beginning of combat on your turn, untap each mirror you control.
See, there it is.
White, blue, black, red, green, tap. So that's mana activation cost, which is why it's a 5 color. Wow. So you pay a bunch of mana, tap it, put 3 +1/+1 counters on each mirror you control.
I'm sorry. My mind's blown right now. There's so many infinite combos. When you just read that to me, I'm like, okay, My mind just, like, I went back to the 70s, man. You know what I mean? Am I the only one?
I don't know. Well, yeah. I mean, I'm sure there are infinite thingies. Right now, I can't think of it, but I'm sure, like, There's a lot you could do with this.
It sounds fun.
It's definitely fun.
Reason why I couldn't find this thing for the longest time is because it was there is no mirror in the card name, which that's what I was looking for.
Sure.
As well as the one that was leaked and not officially previewed is in Spanish. So I had a really hard time finding the dang thing, but I finally got it. Yeah, Urtet, URTET.
There's a lot of stink going around too as far as spoilers. There was a major leak, and Wizards went ahead and confirmed that these leaks are real. Okay. And it was more of a leak than normal, man. I'm talking about complete cycles just leaked. It's like, whoa, even major parts of the storyline, which I don't follow like you guys follow, right? I mean, I get questions from friends all the time. So what do you think about, you know, Vraska and Jace and this and that? And I'm like, I don't know, bro. Are you reading the comic? Are you looking the meta up online? What are you doing to know the story? But I mean, I hear about it, right? And I'm also being told that there's a lot of spoilers that are out there that weren't supposed to be leaked. Leaks. That's the name I'm looking for. Leaks. So it's not your typical spoiler is what we got here. Otherwise, a lot of content creators will be covering this like, whoa, you know what I mean?
Yeah. What a part of what happened is that somehow, well, not somehow, I guess, yeah, Wizards of the Coast messed up in that a lot of the cards, I think primarily rare, somehow ended up getting packaged with the Dominaria Remastered stuff. Mm-hmm. So people were just opening up Dominaria Remastered and they just happened to find all will be one rares in them.
Got it.
So that's how a lot of these cards got out. Not a lot of the cards, but a lot of the leaks got out, rather.
All right. If I go over to the show notes, is there anything we got to talk about before the break?
No. Yes.
Okay, go ahead.
So we got a few minutes, so I want to go over all, or as much as I can, of the all will be one set mechanics.
Okay. And where
there's
do
a
we,
bunch of them.
Where do we have that at? Just in front of you only?
Yeah, but we can talk about it a little bit.
Okay.
There are a bunch of returning mechanics and a couple new ones.
All right. Talk to me about the returning mechanics.
The returning mechanics proliferate.
Okay, great. I love it. Oh, it's still here. It's not coming back. It's like if you play modern, right? If you play modern, you got things like Thrumming Bird and, you know, the Contagious Clasp.
Go ahead.
What else goes good with poison counters?
Proliferate. Yeah, proliferate. Yeah. Exactly. You know, Live Wire Lash, and then you got the Karn's Bastion, the land. But go ahead. Yeah, proliferate. Yeah, so, I love it.
Yeah, so proliferate means that anytime you would proliferate, you could choose any number of permanents and or players. And for each counter they already have, you put one more on them. So you could target a Planeswalker. Sorry, not targeting. You could choose a Planeswalker and put an extra loyalty counter on it. You can also choose a creature and put an extra +1/+1 counter or -1/-1 counter. You could choose a player and give them an extra poison counter. And you can also choose your opponent's creature and give them an extra -1/-1 counter. All, of course, assuming they already have one of those on them.
All right. And another mechanic that's returning?
Next mechanic, completed, which is...
Of course.
The one that's on the Planeswalkers, the Phyrexianized Planeswalkers.
Yeah. I love the artwork, by the way. Affinity's coming back. Okay.
The Affinity is on three cards.
Okay.
In All Will Be One. I know one of them already got previewed. I think it says Affinity for Equipment. It could be all three of them. One could be just Affinity for Artifacts, but Affinity for X or Infinity for Object means that it'll cost one mana less to cast per thing that you have.
Nice.
So if you have Affinity for Enchantments, then it costs like, you know, two less if you have two enchantments on a battlefield.
Oh, I can hear Commander players right now. Yes.
Flashback.
Okay.
There's one card so far that has Flashback on it. And it's not necessarily the card itself that has Flashback. It's a card that grants something in the graveyard Flashback, I believe.
That's a good thing.
What this means is that both affinity and flashback might become deciduous. And what that means is that it's an existing ability that they might kind of toss around in sets here and there without the set having to be completely about it.
Right.
Because like in Crimson Vow or Midnight Hunt, I forget which one, we have maybe both. We had flashback.
Well, in all honesty, if they're doing just the way they're doing it, right? Like two cards this set have flashback. They're not ruining anything.
No.
If half the set got blood counters, you know, then a little splash of trample is not going to hurt anybody. You know what I mean?
Well, I mean, trample's evergreen. Trample's all over the place.
But you know what I mean. You know what I mean.
Yeah.
Like, proliferate. A little proliferate's not going to hurt anything.
Yeah, but we haven't had proliferate in a set unless the set was pretty much all about it.
No. We had Tezzeret's Gambit come out. We had, the set's not like all about it. You know, the Karn's Bastion.
Yeah, that set was all about.
Well, it was about landfall and a little bit about proliferate, not much, because you had the land crab came in that set and stuff.
What are you talking about?
Ruin crab or something?
I'm not following.
Oh, that didn't come out in the same set?
No.
Okay. Never mind. I'll erase that. Go ahead. What else is coming back?
Yeah. Deciduous means that, like, it's nice, that, like, because we had cycling show up on just five cards in Streets of New Capenna, which was just the land cycle.
Right.
So it's good to have these cards that, like, I do like deciduous mechanics where, like, it's just, it'll show up without it being all about it. The new mechanics, brand new, toxic or toxic N. And N is a fixed number on the card.
Okay.
This is basically poisonous from before, where it is. So toxic N is that this creature deals damage. As this creature deals damage to a player, that player also gets a poison counter.
Right.
Poisonous is basically the exact same thing, but poisonous was a triggered ability. So when the creature deals damage, they get a poison counter. Toxic means they just get a poison counter based on whatever the toxic number is.
Ouch.
Yeah.
Ouch.
It's entirely different from Infect, because Infect also gave you -1/-1 counters. Infect did not do damage, but instead it gave -1/-1. Infect was a little bit busted, though.
Yeah.
I think it's a little more powerful than Infect.
Yes.
It is. Toxic is powerful?
More
powerful?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Because when you give somebody poison counters,
Are you doing the damage to the creature, but you're giving it -1/-1 counters on top of it, where Infect damage was assigned in -1/-1 counters.
Toxic does not do -1/-1.
It will.
No, it won't.
Or is
toxic?
Or is it only doing it? It's only doing it to the player.
Player. Yeah.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah.
Well, see, the thing about it is, though, if you mix it with the older cards, it can make it real sick, a real turn three game. You know
it
what I mean?
It could.
Oh, it can. It will. Yep. It will with older cards. So it'd be in the modern format, but it's not. It's not going to up Pioneer any.
Corrupted.
What's that one?
Corrupted is an ability word, kind of like landfall, that like it doesn't really need to say the word on there. It just does because it's like tied together.
Okay.
Corrupted is as long as your opponent has three or more poison counters, whatever card does an extra effect.
There we go.
Like Metalcraft.
So they go together. I haven't seen this in a long time. I have not seen this in a long time, man. You know, usually they'll have two different mechanics where they don't mean anything, you know, like conceive and connive, you know. Well, I was going with connive, and I don't remember what conceive was. It was so weak, you know.
For Mirrodin, with an exclamation point. So you got to scream it as you do it. This is a kind of an updated version of Living Weapon. It's on equipment. So when the equipment enters the battlefield, create a 2/2 red rebel creature and then attach the equipment to that card.
Whoa, we're going to have rebels all over the place.
Sphere. Sphere is a land subtype, kind of like Locust, kind of like Gates, to where itself doesn't really do anything, but it is, other cards will reference it. Like if you control two spheres, something happens, or go search your library for a sphere card and put it in a battlefield or something like that.
Okay, they're tapping on the glass. We're going to have to go to a commercial, and when we come back, we'll finish this part up and we'll have much more. We'll be right back. All right, everybody, welcome back. And Onik, I am sorry about that, man. The producers were tapping on the window, and I'm like, you got it.
Yep.
Okay. And you were saying?
So continuing right back to the mechanics of All Will Be One. I didn't even mention when the set's going to be released, so that's probably good to know. The set, the pre-release is February 3rd.
Yes.
So
yes.
You can go out to your LGSs, do some sealed pre-release, pick up some cards and loot and whatnot, and yeah,
and then a week
fight for Mirrodin,
and then a week later worry about Valentine's Day.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, something like that.
Apparently a lot of people love Phyrexia. Well, I don't know,
it's gonna be like the whole year, it's the year of Phyrexia.
The first half is gonna be all Phyrexia. The second half is probably like either Splash. Recovering from the trauma of Phyrexia. Yeah. Or just like moving on to the new storyline.
I saw, what was it on? A shout out to Cardboard Crack. You know, it was Jace walking up and he's like, Veraska sent me a letter, you know. She wants to complete me, you know. And then the other person's like, huh, usually it's like you complete me, you know. Mm-hmm. And then the more he talked about what she had planned, the other person was like, hey man, I'd run fast, really, really fast. Well, that's kind of cute because we know out here, you know, we know out here he's getting completed, you know.
Yeah, spoiler alert. Yeah. Vraska kills Jace.
No.
Yes.
So now there's gonna be no more cards of Jace ever being printed again.
I don't know. Because so when Vraska was completed,
yeah,
Jace was still like, I can save you, and then Russell's like, nah, I'm going to kill you now. And then pretty much stab Jace through the chest.
That's great.
Jace collapsed on the floor immediately. And then that's when Elish Norn pretty much came up on the spot and like said, all right, well, now that you're dead, I'm just going to revive you into Phyrexia or into Completed or whatever.
You know, Will, I'm going to tell you, bud. I know he was the fanboy of Magic. You know what I'm saying? The face of Magic, you know, with all the products, especially before Kaladesh, you know. But man, killing him off, what do you think?
You called it, I believe you called it a few episodes back.
Yeah, they were gonna kill the planeswalker, and that was the rumor, man, you know. And
oh no, you were like, yeah, you called it, you were like, they're gonna kill Jace.
Oh, I know.
You
I was
you called it a couple episodes back.
I was hoping it was gonna be Teferi, but here it is. We're swimming in it, baby. You know, we're swimming in it. I mean, the stuff, you know, 3 years in advance, man, you know, when we hear about it, it's like, when's it going to come true? You know, and here we are, we're swimming in it. I mean, we got more to talk about. We got more to talk about. The moment of silence is over. The moment of silence is over. And I'm still a blue player. I still got many copies of Jace. I mean,
you just gotta find a new planeswalker to
Fury.
Planeswalker to Fury.
I'm doing.
Like I said, I feel like he's gonna disappear too.
Yeah, I think he is. I just like the mono blue versions of him. I don't like the like right now, Master of Time. I'm rocking him. I'm rocking him, man. And he's fun in Commander games, by the way.
People. Yeah. All right. Moving on with mechanics. Last I mentioned spheres, oil counters.
Oh yeah.
Like oil counters are midnight pretty much oil.
Do you remember that one, Midnight Oil?
Phyrexian Oil, more specifically.
Oh, okay.
This is pretty much the, I guess, a twist on like charge counters. You know, creatures or enchantments or artifacts will enter the battlefield with X oil counters. And then you can remove one to do an effect. Or things will have like during the upkeep, put an oil counter on it. And if it has like X or more, then it does an effect or something like that. But it's just like a new type of counter. Like by itself, it's not like oil, you know, a creature with oil counter gets infect or whatever. It's just, it doesn't do anything unless the card specifically wants you to do something with it.
I'm looking at a card I named Midnight Oil, right? And this is from, believe it or not, Kaladesh. I mentioned that set a minute ago. two black, two other enchantment. Midnight Oil enters the battlefield with 7 hour counters on it. So it
that's from Kaladesh, right?
Yeah, it's got hour counters, so there's no oil counters. Okay, so I was wrong. I was wrong. So oil counters, that's cool. That's cool. But with things like proliferate, go ahead.
Yeah, so here's a fun one. A new card type. Brand new card type. Battle. We have no idea what battle is. But it's a new card type, just like artifact or enchantment, instant sorcery, land creature, planeswalker. It's a whole new card type called battle.
Okay.
We don't know what it does at all.
Oh, this, wow.
The only hint, the way we know about battle is because it's on a card that was previewed named Atraxa, which we all know Atraxa, but it's a different one. Atraxa Grand Unifier.
That's right. I knew about that one. Yeah.
So it has a bunch of, okay, so I'll just read it. It's a bunch of keywords. So 3 green, white, blue, black. Legendary creature, Phyrexian Angel. Flying, Vigilance, Death Touch, Lifelink. 7/7. Whatever. I'm not worried about that. I don't want to talk about that right now. When Atraxa, Grand Unifier enters the battlefield, reveal the top 10 cards of your library. For each card type, you may put a card of that type from among those revealed cards into your hand. Put the rest of the bottom of your library in a random order. Then, in reminder text in parentheses, it says, artifact, battle, creature, enchantment, instant, land, planeswalker, and sorcery are card types. This made everyone go, wait, hold up, what? Battle? What the heck is battle? No one knows. So, it did omit tribal on here, which people were speculating that is tribal being renamed to battle? Why do they need to do that? That's a lot of weird oracle text that's not really necessary. Later on, it was confirmed by Mark Rosewater that battle is a brand new card type. We don't know what it does. We don't know if it's a permanent, like a land or a creature that goes on a battlefield. We don't know if it's like a spell that you cast that it has some sort of effect, if it fights a creature, if it's related to combat. We don't know what this does, but it's a brand new card type. Some people did some digging, and they found an article from April 15th, 2019 from War of the Spark. That was the set between Nicol Bolas and all the planeswalkers of War of the Spark. And this article was talking about, this is part 3 of the article about the making the set itself. And a part of this article was talking about a card design called Skirmish. Skirmish, the way they wanted it to play out was like a mini board game of sorts or sub game. To where it's an object. I don't know if it sits on a battlefield or whatever, but it's kind of like you have like a marker on there to where if you quote unquote won a battle one way or another, you move up the piece in a direction, like either like closer to the goal or further from the goal. Like to me, I imagine like there's like 5 spaces and in the middle is where you start. And if you win a battle, you move it one space forward. And if you get it, and if you move it to the end, you get a reward. You kind of know what I'm talking about or visualizing what I'm saying about this?
Yeah, but it's just so weird. I mean, we'll know more when it gets released, right?
Yeah. Right now, we don't know anything about it. We don't know if it's if it's even going to be in this set. It could be in a future set. John, I just linked to the article. You don't have to look at it now. I'm just giving it to you for reference that you can speculate on your own.
Sweet.
But it talked about how, let me see. The idea behind Skirmish was that we wanted there to be a battle. This is from the article itself. The idea behind Skirmish was that we wanted to be there to be a battle between you and your opponent. This battle will be overlaid onto the game. It would generate effects that affected the game. The second technology that Skirmish used was first seen on Monarch on the Monarch token, Conspiracy Take the Crown. This uses an external card as a game piece that outlines its own rules. This might even kind of sound like one of those dungeon cards, to where it's a piece that you had that you just, you know, yeah. When you explore, when you venture into the dungeon, you move into the dungeon itself. It's not a part of the game. It's kind of there.
Sure.
But if battle's a card type, then it kind of has to be a part of the game, you know? Like, if for Atraxa, if you are looking at top 10 cards, and if you can choose a battle card out of it, that means you could put it in your hand. It probably has a mana cost of some sort. You can maybe cast it or just play it like a land. Like, there's so many things that it could be.
Right.
It's interesting that it's coming out and we don't know what it does yet. I don't know. We don't know what colors. We don't know what rarity, the mana cost. There's so many unknown things.
Are you thinking like a castable dungeon that could be removed?
So my speculation is I don't think it will be. It's something that could be targeted. I think it's going to sit in the command zone.
Yeah, just like you got your dungeon, and you also have
your emblem.
Emblem. I was getting ready to say, yeah, it's like an emblem. Will, yeah.
You're I think it's something that you cast.
Yeah.
That goes on a stack that goes into the command zone, and you move a piece or keep track of something in the command zone, and then when it achieves its goal or a resolution or whatever, then it goes from there to the graveyard. That's a pure guess. How things move, it could be like Clash. Remember the ability Clash? Like you flip coin or something, or reveal the top card of your deck for a higher mana value.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what it was.
Yeah, so Clash was you both reveal. If you win the Clash, something happens. If you lose the Clash, nothing happens.
Yeah, so there's so many things it could be. Like, again, this is all speculation. This is all just like
can't wait to see.
Guessing. Yeah,
can't wait to see.
It's exciting to guess.
So oh, absolutely. No, absolutely. Until it's right in our front of our face, and then we still have questions when it's legal, right?
You know, what does it do? Is it a non-land? Like I don't know. Whatever.
You got to break it, not us.
Yeah. So me just. This is the first time I've ever done something like this. So we all know Tarmogoyf. We had it for the card of the week. This was the creature, the 2-mana creature that gets plus X essentially for each card type among cards in your graveyard. Kind of like Delirium in a way. So there were previously 8 different card types. Now there's 9.
Wow.
That technically means Tarmogoyf could be stronger or get bigger quicker.
Right. Other things too.
I got big brained, sort of. Yeah. And I bought out 4 copies of Tarmogoyf.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe it's going to come back. Maybe I just wasted my money.
Well, there's other things too to go with that theme, you know. So.
Yeah, so but I bought some copies of it, and then I'm just going to see what happens. Maybe.
Happily ever after.
Happily ever after, yeah. Happily ever after.
Yeah. So I don't know. We'll see what happens. I'm guessing I probably just wasted my money, but we'll see. It's a gamble. It's a risk. Anyway, all of that are the new stuff coming in Phyrexia All Will Be One. Like oil is not a big deal. Sphere is just like a land type. It's like okay, it has on there. Battle, we don't know anything about it. But yeah. It's going to have a lot of stuff in there.
All right. What's next?
Next is pretty much the rest of the podcast and maybe even the next 2 episodes. It'll be a giant level up. The Rabaya scale.
So you want to make that just the next episode?
It could be.
All right. Yeah. So look forward to the next episode. And that's what we'll name it something Rabaya related.
Well, Rabaya.
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 There you go.
Do you know what
the desert thing? Yeah, the desert plain or whatever.
Yes.
Yeah.
Do you know what the Rabaya scale is?
Sort of. I know that it's more than what I think. Like, you have like the likelihood of returning to Ravnica, The likelihood of returning to Dominaria, the likelihood of returning to Lorwyn, stuff like that.
Yeah.
So, like, the higher the number, the highly unlikely we're going to return there, if I remember correctly, right?
Yes, you got it.
And if I remember correctly, Lorwyn's like at 7, which means it's not really looking good. But you know, the thing, too, is, you know, there was a lot of things that were going on back with Lorwyn. You had to follow up with Eventide, Morningtide, and what was the other one, man? Shadowmoor, okay? And Shadowmoor came out after Lorwyn. But Lorwyn was the introduction of Planeswalkers, and there was no storyline, you know, until way later. And then this was just Planeswalkers exist. They didn't come out in a core set or nothing. They came out in the middle of a block set, you know? So I know this might be hard for people to understand, but there was like a time where a block set could be 3 sets in a block, you know? And Lorwyn was like, it was Lorwyn and Shadowmoor where 2 in 1 block, and then you had another block where Eventide and Morningtide. You know what I'm saying? So I think Eventide and Morningtide came first. And but Planeswalkers were a new thing. And the commands, I've said it on the podcast before, the commands were worth more money, so I was, you know, trading people Planeswalkers left and right for the commands, you know, not knowing that the Liliana would be worth how much? How much is that Liliana worth? You know?
Yeah.
You know, and I pulled a Liliana and I traded it real quick for a blue cryptic command, man, you know. Even
and thus the podcast was born.
And thus, no, the podcast wasn't born until it was 14 years after that. But the whole Rabaya scale is it's different because it gets more detailed than what I remember, you know. It's like because when I looked into a Rabaya scale a long time ago, it was you know, what I just mentioned, you know, without repeating myself. But when I do a look now, it's like it's got more detailed. Almost like when you look at the rules of Magic, like when we were kids, they had a little tiny rule book the size of a Magic card. And it was just so small. And I remember even wanting to retype it out and make it on a, you know, bigger piece of paper kind of a thing. And now you can look up the rules of Magic and there's 178-D. You know what I mean? There's a lot of rules, and that's what it looks like to me. So, yes, I know what it is, and do I follow it and keep up with it? No, I don't.
But well, I know today you are.
Oh boy!
Buckle up.
We're starting today. Okay.
Yeah.
What do you got?
We are gonna go.
Yeah.
I have a list. So I have a list of planes.
Okay.
Guess how many planes we're gonna go over. Total, not just today, but like next week and a week after.
20
more.
Oh geez, how many?
34.
Really? Okay.
There are 30, at least 34 different known planes.
All right.
In Magic.
All right.
This also means that, like, you know, so after this set, after these sets, we're going to go to Ixalan, and then we're going to go to Eldraine.
Yeah,
and then for all we know, we might go to some new plane we've never heard of before. Like a new set might come out that might be called, like, I don't know, Pepsi or something. Okay. You know, okay. And that's gonna be a whole new plane. It has a whole new stuff.
Pepsi with Pepsi Man. Pepsi Man's got to be on there.
A new planeswalker. It's a blue red planeswalker.
Yeah, blue red white baby. Yeah, you like, got white in there for the middle.
But of like the set Streets of New Capenna, like that was a new plane. You know.
Yeah.
So we're going to go over 17 today.
Okay, if we have time, go ahead.
Most of these, if not all of these, are things that are like, I've never heard of them before.
Okay.
So I'm going to quiz you on if you've heard of them or not.
Okay.
I want to ask you, if you do know it, how much you like it.
Okay.
And how much do you want to go back to this plane?
Okay. Two very simple answers and questions. Okay, yeah. Go ahead.
So, for example, we'll not talk about Dominaria now, but that's the next episode. But like Dominaria, where we were just there.
Yeah.
A lot of people like Dominaria, but like, we don't need to go back because we were just there.
Well, we do. There's a lot of room for improvement on the Dominaria.
There's story space, absolutely. But also, like I said, there are 34 planes at least. So there's story space all over the place.
Well, there's not a lot of story space on Lorwyn.
There could be. Well, I think so.
There's not, though. Anyway,
we'll
go
over that. Yeah, we'll go over that in just a moment.
But go ahead. Yeah, go ahead.
We'll start off with the namesake of this scale itself, Rabaya.
Okay.
Rabaya first debuted in what set?
Arabian Nights.
Yes. It was the first story that Wizards, that Magic really had. It didn't really take place in, before, like, Magic kind of took place in, like, the actual world of, like, I guess America or whatever.
Dominaria.
No, not Dominaria.
Yeah, it was.
It was Rabaya.
Was it? The first world was Rabaya. It wasn't, yes, Dominaria. Okay. No,
it was Rabaya.
Okay, go ahead.
Rabaya on the Storm scale is a 10. We're never going back to Rabaya. Or extremely, extremely, extremely unlikely.
Well, see, the thing is there's hints of it, though, with like things like Amaket. There's desert there, you know?
Amaket's a whole different plane.
Okay, fine. All right, so yeah, we're never going back?
No.
That's a 10.
Yeah. That's a 10.
Yeah, that's a 10, yeah. So what I think about the set, I love the set, man. I mean, all right, yeah, so I love the set. Do I got to rate it or
like,
something?
It had the creatures like Abu Jafar and Ali Al-Kario.
Classics, yeah.
Yeah,
classics.
But and the reason why it's a 10 is because it used real-world examples, mm-hmm, just in a fictional place called Rabaya. Like you said, it was a desert plane.
Yeah, you had the Arabian Nights, you had the Aladdin's lamp and stuff, you know. It was just pretty cool. I loved those 1001 Nights, Arabian Nights kind of thing, you know, Sinbad and all that.
Yeah, so, I mean, exactly.
I liked the set a lot.
It was cool because it took like an existing place and put Magic's own story into it. But the reason why it's a 10 is because it's a real place.
Yeah.
That's why, I guess maybe you could say that's why they made Amonkhet, to kind of like, let's do it fresh.
Right. So the two questions are, what do I think about it, and what's the likelihood of we're going back?
Yeah.
Okay. So it's really in a nutshell. We can move on to the next one, right? I love the set. Never say never. Okay. That's the way I was raised. I think that we might go back into like 2050 or something when I'm long and gone and only, in podcast world, that's it, you know. I mean, I think that never say never, you know, but the likelihood of we'll go back is probably not anytime soon.
Yeah.
All right, what you got for me?
So the next one is what we'll go over, what we just spoke about a little bit ago. Mm-hmm. Lorwyn Shadowmoor.
Yeah.
This is the same world that it had a perpetual day cycle and a perpetual night cycle.
Yeah.
And the cycles would shift every 300 years.
Also, fun fact, the first time we had the untap symbol.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep. It did have good mechanics tied to it.
Oh, yeah. The scarecrows were in there. Reaper King, Scarecrone.
Yeah, it had the Kithkin. It had a bunch Kithkin, of merfolk. It had a bunch
tree
of...
Folk. Tree folk were a thing.
Tree folk. It had the giants.
Yeah. Yep.
There was a lot of story to it.
I love the set.
And as you said,
that's
when the Planeswalkers first came out.
I love the set. The likelihood we'll go back is unlikely. And that's the thing is, a long time ago, I think back in 2009, they did a thing where internet only. And I wasn't really hip to the internet like I am now, right? And I mean, I knew all about it, but I was more things were going on than social media, you know, and following up with what Wizards doing every day. And they put out a vote for the public, for the fans of Magic the Gathering. What set do you want to go back to? You know, they made a vote, and everybody voted Ravnica, or the majority of people voted Ravnica. And that was the first time they went back to Ravnica. And now we've already been there 4 times. And every time we go back to Ravnica, you know, I'm just like, hey, I'm a Lorwyn fan over here. I even bought a Lorwyn shirt, you know? I love
it. Lorwyn Shadowmoor is very, not nostalgic, but there's, like, I guess, like a longing for it. Like, oh, I want to go back. I wish I can go back. It was cool, this and that. I think at the end of the storyline, the day-night cycle did normalize.
The stigma. The stigma behind the set is what's holding it back. That wasn't successful. If you look at sales, it just wasn't successful. The question,
I don't know about
now,
the sales part. That part, sure. I don't have the information on.
Well, I do. If you look at players and you ask them now, because there's a lot of growth in Magic the Gathering, would you want to go back to it? It's a fine line. If you go back and revisit it, it's almost like, are we going to make another mistake? Are we going to go back and like, this was a mistake? You know what I'm saying?
I think eventually we will go back, but it probably won't be for like maybe like 4 years or so.
Okay. And what's the next one?
But Lorwyn Shadowmoor got a 6 on the Rabaya scale.
Did it? I thought it had to be a 7. Wow.
It did bump down a bit to where like a little bit more likely than before.
Okay.
Next one. So right now we're on the plane, storyline of New Phyrexia, which implies there was an old Phyrexia.
Yes.
There was an old Phyrexia.
Yes.
This is a 9 on the Rabaya scale. Because like
I don't even know how, but go ahead.
Yeah. Because we're not, because it was it's pretty much an abandoned plane right now, because in the storyline, Yawgmoth was eventually the creator, essentially the creator of the Phyrexians. And then when Yawgmoth died from the legacy weapon, like pretty much like a solar blast of white mana.
Are we going back to the time of Yawgmoth? Probably not. But right now, we're in the year of Phyrexian right now. Phyrexia all is one.
You're right. We're in New Phyrexia.
Yeah, we're in New
Phyrexia. Old Phyrexia is an old plane that's pretty much been deserted.
Yeah, we're never going to go back there.
It's a 9.
Yeah, we're never going back there. That might as well be a 10.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. I loved it because you got things like Yawgmoth, and you have other things too. Black was really strong back then, you know? And do I like that set? Yeah, man. But do I see it coming back? No. I mean, so before you even told me that, no, I don't see us going back to that. They're going to bring back things from that because we've already seen new revisions of Yawgmoth and stuff, you know?
Yeah. Like for us to go back there, we would have to go back in time, which we just did in the Brothers War.
Yeah.
So it'd be very, very odd.
What's the next one?
Portal Three Kingdoms.
Okay. I hope we're not going in an order of Rabaius, like harder, like going, because you're trying to trick me up.
Well, right now I'm going by stuff that like,
yeah,
it's a short conversation piece, and it's like stuff where it's most likely most of these are we're not going back to in a while.
I didn't play the set much.
No one really did.
From what I remember, it was like the beginning of they had starter, intermediate, advanced, and expert packs. And I just stayed away from it, man. I looked at it as a starter set, is the way I looked at it. I guess the way they marketed back then. I got to get my dog outside. Hold on.
So, yeah. So, Portal Three Kingdoms was... Portal was a starter set. That's how I learned to play Magic. That set came out around 98. Three Kingdoms, I'm not so sure exactly when it came out, but it was very Chinese influenced.
I think it was right around 97, 98 or something like that.
Maybe a little bit later.
And Rabaya scale? 6.
10.
Wow, man. We're never going back.
No, it's too much Chinese influence. And again, you try to use real world examples.
Yeah, poor Solomon, huh?
Yeah.
All right.
I mean, we could still go back to like an Asian themed world, but
yeah, Kamigawa, right? Go ahead.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I mean, it's more Japanese, but still. Here's a tough one. Bablovia.
Do what?
Exactly.
Isn't that the wilderness one or something?
No. Bablovia.
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 I don't remember that one.
It's a 10 on the scale.
Okay.
This was debuted, or at least we knew about it, through Unstable.
Okay, that would be why.
Exactly.
Yeah, okay. I don't play the unsets, man. I've got friends that are heavy into it, but, you know.
Yep.
Yeah, Blue Jean Walk and all that. So, yeah, I mean, that one's okay. I get a pass.
Yeah, it's just whatever.
Yeah, I get a pass on
but
that
it's plain.
It's yeah, a plane. Yeah, I get it. So, yeah. There's a lot of planes I probably don't know about. Go ahead. Yeah.
Sarah's Realm.
Okay, like Sarah Angel and stuff?
Yes.
Trying to remember when we were on that. What set was it in? Do you know?
Yeah. Or at least it was referenced. Or at least it was created during this storyline. This was back in Urza's Saga.
Okay, yeah. The likelihood of going back to that, man, is great. I think it's like a 2.
You think we're going to go back that soon?
Yeah, nostalgia is there, man. They got the retro frames going on. They've got a lot of things that are coming back from the past, and even new versions of it too.
Ooh, you better turn the number upside down.
Really?
That's a 9.
Wow, buddy.
Sarah's Realm was created during Urza's Saga cycle, which was pretty much Dominaria.
Yeah,
and it was a plane that Sarah herself created. Because I guess she was just so powerful. She's like, I'm going to make a safe space. And that was her safe space. Mercadia. Or Mercadia.
Like the mask?
Exactly. There you go.
I don't know. I think that's a hard one for me because I loved it. You know, it was a time of rebellion with Rebels. So I, you know what? A two, because we got Rebels coming up.
9.
Wow.
Okay. It didn't have much of a storyline to it. This didn't have any home to any of the planeswalkers.
Okay.
Yes, Rebels are a creature type now, but the Rebels today are more.
Oh yeah.
The ones that are fighting the Phyrexians.
Yeah.
That's why the Rebel.
Yeah, that's why they have a foothold in today's society, right?
Yeah. Kylem.
God bless you.
Thank you. K-Y-L-E-M. This is a 7 on the scale. Again, no planeswalkers were home to this, but this was... We knew about this through Battle Bond, which is like a supplemental set.
Uh-huh. I get a pass on this one, too.
Yep. Same thing with this one.
Okay.
Excuse me. Golbakhan.
Okay, I get a pass on that one, too?
Yeah, it's a 9.
What is this guy, man?
Actually, this is Teo's home plane. This is the shield mage, the white planeswalker in one of the M sets. I forget which one. But this one we found out from, we heard about it from the MTG novels of Teo's home plane.
See, and I didn't read those guys, man. You get like the first chapter or something, you know?
Muraganda.
Oh.
Not Wakanda, Muraganda.
Yeah. That's like Mirage, right?
No. Ooh. Mirage was also, I think, Dominaria.
Was it? Okay. You got me on this one, man. I don't remember the set. I don't have the set name in front of me to even remember.
Future Sight.
Oh, yeah. That was a great set. And the likelihood of it is probably, I mean, it's got to be like a 0 because... I mean, we got a 1 to 10.
0, right? Means we're going to be there tomorrow.
Yeah. Well, I mean, think about it, because the cards of the future, this was a hint of the cards of the future.
Yes. You know? And which is why, yeah.
We're constantly getting that. And we get stuff like dungeons, and we talked about it in this podcast. You know, we get new mechanics added all the time and card frames added all the time, you know?
Yeah. But the plane of Muraganda itself is a 5.
Okay.
Which is. In the middle of, like, this is something that we want to go to, we just don't know when.
Well, we can't right now because we got a 1 and a 2 in front of us. Got it.
Yeah.
Okay. Love the set. Yeah. Love the set. 5, huh? Okay.
Vryn.
Vryn.
V-R-Y-N. Vryn.
V-R-Y-N. Oh, like Vryn's Prodigy and all that.
Yes. Jace, Vryn's Prodigy.
Yeah. So it would be...
This is the home plane of Jace.
Yeah, man. Probably never.
See, that's what I want to say, too. Mm-hmm. The scale is a 6.
Well, that's pretty high up there, though.
It's pretty high. It's like, yeah. We want to go there, but we don't know when. And I feel like it's a 6. It's because they kind of know that Jace is dead.
Yeah, so. If we kill him off, then what's the point, baby? You know? Are we just going to Jace's path? So is this just
the graveyard now?
Yeah, we're going to give Christmas cards out to everybody this year. It's going to be Christmas Ghost of Jace Past and
Future. Wish we were here.
And yeah, present. Wish you were here. Right. Yeah, wish you were here. There you go.
Chandelar.
Oh, man. Stop it. There's nothing but love right there, man.
I know.
How can you put a number on Chandelar?
Well, it's not how can we put a number. It's like, how can we go there, you know?
Yeah, we can't. There you go. 8. It's got to be an 8.
It's a 7.
There you go. It's up there.
And this was from the old company or game, Micropose. Yeah. Micropose, it's like before Arena, before Magic Online.
95. 1995.
It was like MS-DOS sort of thing.
I think it was 95.
Yeah.
Yep.
Regatha.
Man, you God bless you, bro. I don't know. I don't know what that one is.
Magic Origins.
Origins. Yeah, I hope we never go back to that one. But how history repeats itself, because we're doing the Phyrexian War all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I think the likelihood of going back to that guy is a 4, you know?
It's 6.
Yeah.
Not too far off. Yeah, it's a 6.
Yeah, we'll go back to it. Yeah, they gotta repeat that story, you know.
Or at least if we're gonna refresh some of these storylines, then it could be interesting to go back to the roots of some of these places.
Well, this is definitely harder than I thought. What you got for me?
I got 3 more.
Okay.
Fiora.
Huh? Can you spell that?
F-I-O-R-A. Fiora.
Mm. don't even know what set. I mean, I almost wish, what set did it get released in?
Conspiracy. Take the Crown.
Yeah, I get a pass on this one. I just know Monarch's a thing for me, you know?
Yep. There are actually two planeswalkers that call this place home. Mm-hmm. Dak Faden.
Okay.
Doretti.
Okay.
And I didn't realize Doretti didn't have any legs. Or at least he lost the use of his legs because he blew them off, essentially.
Two more.
Fiora is a 7. There's like, maybe, but the time, everything has to be set up really well for us to go back to Fiora. Wrath.
I don't know what's set to the premiere in.
Tempest.
Okay.
My home plane. No, I mean, that's when I started playing Magic, essentially. It was like the same as Portal.
Yeah, I love the set, man. I even knew a guy named himself, my nickname was Change. This guy named himself Tempest because that was his favorite set, and that's when he started playing. He actually started playing in the Tempest block, like yourself. I love the set. The likelihood of going back there is it's got to be up there like a 9 or something.
Exactly, 9.
Yeah.
Bingo. Yeah, because Wrath was like it was like a planner overlay with old Phyrexia.
Yeah.
Which is why both are pretty much like
you got the Thrall. Kind of the same plane. Yeah, the Thrall over there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like again, we have to go back in time for us to really go there.
And what's the last one you got
from? Last one, Segovia.
And what's set to that premiere in?
Legends. Old school Legends, Segovia.
I'm surprised it's not like it wasn't. Yeah, man. We'll probably end up there at like a 2 because Commander's. Really? Commander's a thing, man. You know, with Legends, it's going to be a legendary heavy set. It's just going to have to be.
I feel like every set now is a legendary heavy set.
Probably, right?
It's an 8 on a scale.
Okay.
And I didn't realize when I was looking into it, Segovia is actually a miniature world. Like, if anyone were to planeswalk to Segovia, they would actually shrink down, like, 1/100th the scale.
Wow.
But, like, I think they read, like, physically, the size of, like, a biggest creature in the plane is, like, some sort of Leviathan.
Huh. Well,
and that's, like, a big creature. Like, everything is miniaturized. It's weird. But Segovia.
Wow. And this was no prep time to read up on any of this, too. So
nope. And exactly. I wanted to catch you off guard. But, those are all the obscure, unusual stuff we're not really going to go to. I intentionally skipped the bigger ones like Amonkhet, Talheim, Tarkir, the stuff that we're kind of used to. Uh-huh. That we'll have maybe a deeper discussion on next time because these today were like, I don't know any of these things, you know? So next time we'll planeswalk to the more interesting planes.
All right. Well, it's going to be time to let the listeners go. We appreciate everybody tuning in this week. And we're going to make one more note here that we're going to go ahead and give out this package, this bundle. And all you got to do is just make a comment on the newest YouTube video that I want to win that bundle. And we'll even pay the shipping. So make sure you like the Crypto Commander on YouTube, you know, subscribe and comment on the video. You get this bundle, one of you. I think 3 people have entered. 3 people have entered.
So pretty good odds then.
Yeah, it's pretty good odds, man. I'm telling you. And this has been week after week after week. And we've talked about it. And we put it on the social media and other places too. So it's not like we haven't given anybody a chance. I can't wait to mail this to one of you guys. So, as always, Will, thank you so much for coming on today's show. And you are a Patreon. We really appreciate you, bud. And if anybody else out there would like to consider being a Patreon, make sure to go over to patreon.com/thecrypticcommander, and all the notes are right there. And listeners, thank you so much for tuning in every week. And until next time, keep spell slinging.